Welcome to the Project You podcast, where each week you will find topics, tools, and tips that will help you bridge the gap between the life you are living and the life you are dreaming about. If you are ready to take control and unleash all that is possible in your life, you are in the right place. And now, your host, Certified Life Coach, Timitria McVeigh.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back to the Project You podcast, where we are unleashing the possibilities of your life. This is episode 8, and today we're talking about feelings. And I think this is an important conversation to have because feelings motivate us to do everything that we do. Everything that you want in life, everything that you want to acquire, every goal that you set, the people that you want to connect with, the dreams that you have for yourself and your family are all because of a certain way that you want to feel. So for example, you want a successful career because you want the feeling of security that's associated with being well paid. If you're well paid, then you can afford shelter, food, clothes, etc. Things that make you feel comfortable or safe or content. Or if you want to take a vacation from your job, you want to take a vacation because you want to feel relaxed and carefree and at ease. So just thinking about that and the times I plan just a short getaway to Port Aransas, which is a little beach town that we have in Texas. I get excited because I know I'm going to feel relaxed and calm looking at the ocean. I know that I'm going to go out with friends and have a good time and sing karaoke and laugh, and that we're going to enjoy nice meals. So when I say I want to go to Port A for the weekend to get away, I'm really wanting to go for all those reasons, for the peaceful feeling of walking on the beach, for the playfulness of singing karaoke and laughing with my friends, and for the nurturing feeling that I get when I'm spending time with my friends and just talking and being with them. Or think about when you buy a new car. You want to feel the security of knowing that the new car will most likely get you from point A to point B with no trouble. Or maybe you want to feel proud and accomplished because maybe you bought the car of your dreams. That might even make you feel a little bit smug or haughty or all that in a bag of chips. But you bought that car because you want to know that you have a reliable vehicle that will take you somewhere. So that's the feeling of security. Or you bought the car of your dreams because that makes you feel like you've arrived and you feel proud and accomplished behind that. Say you want to spend the afternoon reading a book. If it's a fiction book, maybe you want to be entertained. If it's a biography, maybe you want to feel informed. If it's a manual of some sort, maybe you want to feel knowledgeable about that subject. But you're reading that book because you think it's going to give you something that will make you feel a certain way. You call up your girlfriends to get together because you want to feel joy, or you want to feel community, or you want to feel understood. Maybe you put on your favorite outfit because it makes you feel confident or comfortable. Or maybe you're putting on an outfit that covers something or camouflages something, and that makes you feel secure. But everything we do is driven by a feeling that we want. And it's important to realize this because then we can understand why we're doing what we're doing. But more importantly, we can begin to understand how we can control our feelings and be more intentional about what we're doing. Because how you think about something determines how you feel. An article of clothing can't make you feel comfortable or confident or more secure. It's how you think about that outfit that makes you feel that way. So if you put on a dress and you think, oh, it's A-line and it camouflages my thighs or my stomach, then you feel more secure, but it's really just a dress and it's what you're thinking about that dress. A car can't make you feel secure. The fact that you're thinking that it's a new car or it's a car with a good safety rating makes you feel secure. And it's what you think about your girlfriends that makes you feel that joy, that makes you feel that sense of connection and community and being understood. So knowing all of that allows you to understand that you can A, tap in and become more aware of your feelings and why you're experiencing them. And that's huge because most people aren't even aware of their feelings. In Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart, which is a fantastic book, do yourself a favor and pick it up or listen to the audiobook. But in that book, she says, and I'm going to quote her here, 15 years ago, when we first introduced a curriculum based on my shame resilience research, we asked participants in the training workshops to list all of the emotions they could recognize and name as they were experiencing them. Over the course of 5 years, we collected these surveys from more than 7,000 people. The average number of emotions named across the surveys was 3. The emotions were happy, sad, and angry. She goes on to say, when I think about this data, I think about a quote from the philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein that I came across in college. The limits of my language mean the limits of my world. What does it mean if the vastness of human emotion and experience can only be expressed as mad, sad, or happy? What about shame, disappointment, wonder, awe, disgust, embarrassment, despair, contentment, boredom, anxiety, stress, love, overwhelm, surprise, and all the other emotions and experiences that define what it means to be human? Wow, that's good stuff. Again, that was a snippet from Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. So as you start to tap in and become aware of your feelings, you'll begin to become aware of more feelings and the different nuances of a feeling. And right now, I'm looking at a feelings wheel that, if you will imagine a pie, the sections are mad, scared, joyful, powerful, peaceful, and sad. And the next level of mad is hurt, hostile, angry, rage, hateful, and critical. And those are different nuances of mad, but they relate to different situations because hurt is very different from rage or critical or being hostile, right? So being able to break that down even further and identify not only that you're mad, but that you're hurt or feeling critical towards somebody or that you have rage towards somebody gives you more information and more power to control your actions and what you do, which in turn controls your outcomes. Or the things that fall under joyful are excited, energetic, sexy, playful, amused, extravagant, and all those can be associated with different thoughts and different situations. So there are so many emotions and feelings that go along with the human experience, and being able to identify what you're feeling in that moment and why is a powerful thing to help you begin to understand yourself and to put you in control of your life, because your thoughts control how you're feeling about the different situations. Your thought about something can make you feel mad, or somewhere in the spectrum of mad can make you feel hostile or critical or hateful. So knowing that, you can begin to examine your thoughts and become intentional with your thoughts, and that puts you in control of your feelings. And it's not just a flip of the switch and your thoughts are rainbows and daisies and all is right in the world. It's about examining how you're feeling and why. When you're angry, it's not because of the other person, it's because of what you think about what the other person said or did. Have you ever worked yourself into a tizzy over something? My friend Sherry used to say that she would get mad after she thought about something that had happened or something that someone had said. In that moment, she may have been a little taken aback or she may have paused, but then she would replay whatever happened in her mind and she would get angry. So it wasn't that thing that made her mad. It was what she was thinking and telling herself about those things that made her mad. And the fact that she could go back to that situation and start talking about it again and generating that feeling of anger or being mad again shows that it's what you're thinking that generates that feeling. And it goes the other way as well, right? Excitement. I had tickets to the Eagles concert and I bought them, I think, in November, and the concert was in May. But every time I thought about the upcoming concert, I would get excited and I was happy about that. And it was because I was thinking, I'm going to be at this concert. I have great seats. I'm going to be able to see, and they're going to sing all the songs that I love. And I'm going to be surrounded by people who are having fun and singing these songs and who love the Eagles like I do. And I was excited about that from the time I bought the tickets till the night of the show. And now thinking back about it, it makes me feel happy too. I think about that and I think about how I felt there and how much fun I had and how excited I was to be there. And I feel it all again. Or when I hear a song on the radio, I think about, oh, I had so much fun at the Eagles when they played that song. It was so great. And I get happy again, but it's what I'm thinking about it. Because think about this, when a song comes on the radio that you don't like, or that you have a memory that's associated with that's negative, it brings those feelings back. And it's the song, and you think, oh, I was breaking up with so-and-so when that song was playing. And those feelings come back. And it's because you're remembering that, you're thinking about that, and bringing those feelings back up. And this is all important because when we have those feelings and they're so strong and we think that it's because somebody else did something or said something, knowing that what we're thinking about that is causing us to feel that anger or that stress or whatever we're feeling, we can dial it down a notch. We can say to ourselves, you know what? They just said something and I can take this however I want to take it and feel about it however I want to feel about it. And sometimes you may want to be upset about it. You may want to get angry. But knowing that it's the way that you're thinking about it that's driving the way that you feel gives you control. It gives you the control to say, okay, now what do I want to do? What do I want to think? What do I want to feel? What do I want my actions to be? You absolutely can control your feelings by directing your thoughts. If you want to feel confident going into a situation, you can think thoughts that help you feel confident. If you want to feel confident going into a meeting and you're new to this position, you can think, I was hired for this position based on my qualifications and I know my stuff and I have something important to offer. And that'll make you feel confident and that will make you show up in a powerful way in that meeting. If you want to feel secure about your finances, you can think thoughts like, I have money to pay my mortgage and all my bills, or I'm able to put aside $25 a week, or I'm able to pay for all the things that I need. And that will generate feelings of security as opposed to thoughts like, oh, I barely have anything left after paying all my bills, or I only have $500 in my savings account. That may be the number, but thinking about it that way may make you feel anxious, as opposed to I'm building my savings and I've managed to save $500, which would make you feel hopeful. This feelings work is some of the most important work that I do with my clients. It's some of the most important work that I do for myself. And it's some of the most important work that you can do for yourself. Because as I mentioned in a previous podcast, your feelings drive your actions. I gave the example of driving down the highway and you think somebody's going to cut you off and you get irritated and you speed up so you don't let them cut you off, but you may cause an incident of road rage or may cause an accident. Or if you think you want to be vibrant and energetic in your old age, you may feel inspired to eat clean and exercise and stay strong. So do this feelings work. As feelings and emotions come up, ask yourself, what am I thinking that's causing this feeling? And is this a feeling that I want to have? Is this feeling going to spur the actions that will get me where I want to go? Or do I need to work on changing my thoughts so I can change my feelings and get the results that I want in my life? We're going to continue our conversation on feelings next week, and we're going to talk about buffering. And buffering is when you take actions or don't take actions to avoid feeling your feelings. And most of the time, you're not even aware that you're doing it. So if you have questions about this work, or if you want to go a little bit deeper on feelings, you're always welcome to email me at info@coachdemetria.com or click on the link in the show notes and schedule an Unleash the Possibilities of You call, and we can work through your feelings and how changing your thoughts and your feelings can get you the results that you want in your life. Until next time. If you're ready to take on the most important project of your life, subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode. Follow the link in the show notes or go to CoachTemetria.com. That's Coach, TEMETRIA.com to download the free Project You mini course and unleash all that is possible in your life.